Welcome to Akatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI.
Hello and welcome. Today we're diving into a novel that's, well, truly something else. It asks some deep questions, like what really keeps us tethered, you know, even after life. We're exploring George Saunders's Lincoln and the Bardo. Now, this isn't just any book. It scooped up the Man Booker Prize, and it was Saunders's first big novel after, what, decades of mastering the short story.
Exactly. A huge leap for him.
The whole thing unfolds over one single kind of surreal night. February 1862, we're in Oak Hill Cemetery in Georgetown.
Right. And the core is this amazing blend. You've got hard historical faction unveiled. Abraham Lincoln crushed by grief, visiting his young son Willie's grave.
Such a powerful image in itself.
It is. But then Saunders layers in this incredibly imaginative supernatural world, a sort of purgatory filled with ghosts.
So our plan today is to really get into this, unravel the story, meet the characters, explore the themes, and try to understand Saunders's really groundbreaking style and figure out why this book still hits so hard.
Yeah, it definitely resonates.
Okay, then let's unpack this.
Well, it was a fascinating move for Saunders.
Yeah.
I mean, people knew him for these brilliant, sharp, short stories. Collections like Civil War Land and Bad Decline, 10th of December.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Mm. Darkly funny, often critical, but always so human.
Always. Finding that humanity in these really absurd situations. So, for this novel to get such instant acclaim, win the Booker, it really cemented his reputation in a new way.
Right.
And what's so interesting is how, even with ghosts in this whole fantastical setup, he keeps it grounded in such profound human feeling. It really speaks to his philosophy, what he calls maximum kindness towards his characters.
That phrase, maximum kindness, is striking. And you mentioned his philosophy, this idea of radical empathy. That feels key here, doesn't it? How does it really fuel Lincoln and the Bardo?
Oh, it's absolutely central.
Yeah.
Saunders has talked about how he sees literature's main job as fostering compassion. You know, he's influenced by writers like Tolstoy, Chekhov, and his own Buddhist practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that directly here. He takes this heart-wrenching historical fact, Lincoln in the cemetery, and spins it into this huge empathetic exploration of loss, how we're all connected, the whole human condition, really.
So it's a combination of his style, but also pushing it somewhere new.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Get the trademark language, the humor mixed with deep sadness, but the empathy feels expanded, operating on this grand, almost cosmic scale.
So setting aside the shift in form for Saunders, the core idea itself is just magnetic. Lincoln visiting his son's grave. How does Saunders take that very real, very painful moment and build the supernatural world around it?
He starts with the documented history. Lincoln's visits to Willie's crypt were known, this raw public display of grief. But then he brings in the supernatural element using the Tibetan Buddhist idea of the Bardo.
The Bardo. Can you explain that a bit?
Sure. Think of it as a kind of in-between state, a transitional space between dying and whatever's next. So Saunders imagines the cemetery itself as this Bardo, this purgatorial zone. And it's filled with these spirits he calls sick forms. They're basically ghosts whose appearances are distorted by whatever earthly attachments or psychological wounds they couldn't let go of. They're stuck.
Wow. Sick forms. That paints quite a picture. So into this environment comes young Willie Lincoln. What happens then? How does his arrival affect things?
Willie arrives completely innocent, confused. He calls his coffin his sick box, and he's just looking for his father.
Oh. Heartbreaking.
It is. And his presence just throws the whole ghost community into disarray. See, they're all in this state of denial, pretending they're just resting or ill, not actually dead. Willie's arrival kind of shatters that illusion.
So he forces them to confront reality.
In a way, yes. And then the main problem surfaces. Children aren't supposed to stay long in the Bardo. If Willie lingers, especially because of his father's visits, he risks getting trapped in these awful states of decay and suffering. Yeah, it creates this real urgency. It's like the cemetery isn't peaceful rest at all. It's this waiting room where everyone's stuck replaying their regrets. And Willie showing up is like a fire alarm going off.
That urgency really comes through with the ghosts themselves, this ensemble cast Saunders creates. Their physical forms are so symbolic of their inner states, their attachments. It really does make you think, what would my sick form look like?
Right. It's a powerful concept.
Can you tell us about some of the key figures? What do they represent?
Absolutely. Well, there's Hans Vollmann. He died from a stroke right on his wedding night before the marriage could be consummated.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So his ghost form has this grotesquely enlarged feature representing that specific unfulfilled physical desire. He's just stuck on it, initially very self-absorbed in his frustration.
Okay. And who else?
Then you have Roger Bevans III. He died by suicide after being rejected romantically. His spirit is, well, it's covered in extra eyes and hands and other sensory organs. It reflects his desperate regret, his wish that he'd experienced life more fully, felt everything more intensely before he ended it. He's quite witty and philosophical on the surface, but you feel the deep pain underneath.
That's incredibly vivid.
And then there's the Reverend Everly Thomas. He brings this element of real spiritual dread. His faith was broken by seeing the horrors of slavery, and now he's convinced he's damned. He keeps seeing this terrifying vision he calls the matter light blooming, which he interprets as final judgment.
So doubt and fear personified.
Pretty much. And alongside them, there's this whole chorus, Eliza Traynor, Betsy Barron, soldiers in the war, everyday people. It creates this polyphonic sound, like a cross-section of American society in turmoil.
It sounds incredibly rich.
It is. And for all their strangeness, these characters are dealing with universal things, right? Mm-hmm. Regret, desire, fear. The sick forms are just, you know, exaggerated versions of the things that imprison us spiritually, even while we're alive.
That connection between their forms and their inner lives is fascinating. And you mentioned the turmoil of the era. Saunders doesn't just rely on the ghosts' voices, does he? He uses this really unique narrative structure.
That's right. It's one of the most talked about aspects of the book.
He alternates between the fictional chapters in the cemetery, the ghosts' perspectives, and chapters made up entirely of historical quotations. From letters, diaries, news reports about Willie's death, the Civil War. How does that work? What effect does it create?
It's brilliant, really. It sets up this dialogue between the documented past and the imagined afterlife. But more than that, it highlights what Saunders seems to see as the multiplicity of truth.
Multiplicity of truth.
Yeah, you get all these historical snippets, often contradicting each other about the same event, like the weather on a certain day or Lincoln's exact demeanor. It creates this kind of Rashomon effect.
Ah, like the Kurosawa film. Same event, totally different perspectives.
Exactly. It makes you question the idea of a single objective history. Instead, history becomes this fragmented collage of subjective takes. And this structure profoundly shapes how we see Lincoln.
How so?
We see him not just as the stoic president from the statues, but as this incredibly vulnerable, grieving father pushed right to the edge, dealing with this immense personal loss while the nation is tearing itself apart. The structure emphasizes both sides of that.
So we experience his grief through both the historical lens and his actual presence in the Bardo, interacting in a way with the ghosts. Tell us more about his visits to the crypt within the novel's world. What happens?
Well, in the novel, Lincoln keeps coming back to the crypt. He actually holds Willie's body. It's an act of intense love, but it's also what's keeping Willie anchored to the Bardo, preventing him from moving on.
So his love is unintentionally harmful in this context.
In the supernatural context, yes. And there's this crucial moment early on where Willie's spirit actually enters his father's body for a moment.
Really? What does he experience?
He feels the sheer, crushing weight of Lincoln's presidential duties. The war strategy, the casualty list, the fate of the Union, all mixed with the personal agony over losing him. It's overwhelming.
Wow. That must really raise the stakes.
It does. And the other ghosts start to realize how quickly Willie is deteriorating because he's lingering.
Yeah.
They see he's suffering. This forces them, these spirits normally lost in their own regrets, to think about someone else, to recognize the need for action.
That's a fantastic twist. The self-absorbed ghosts have to become selfless. Does this lead to the climax? What happens when Lincoln returns?
It builds right to it. Lincoln comes back a second time, and he's at his absolute lowest point.
Yeah.
Just consumed by grief, the war weighing on him. And this is when the ghosts do something extraordinary.
What do they do?
Led by Volman and Bevans, the ones we talked about earlier, a huge swarm of ghosts performs this, like, desperate, unified act of empathy. They all enter Lincoln's body together.
All of them.
At once. Yes. For just a moment, they are inside the president. They feel everything he's feeling. The personal loss of Willie, yes, but also the vast abstract weight of the war, the nation's suffering, his love for his son and his love for his country, all tangled up in this unbearable sorrow.
That sounds incredibly intense.
It is. There's a line where they realize, having been inside him, they understand his grief is still growing, like it could just swallow him whole. They can't help but be on his side after feeling that. It's pure shared empathy.
That moment sounds utterly transformative, not just for the ghosts, obviously, but surely for Lincoln, too. How does experiencing that change him?
It changes everything. For Lincoln, feeling that shared burden, perhaps, allows him to see his personal grief as part of a much larger picture of human suffering. It doesn't erase his pain, but it seems to strengthen his resolve.
So personal grief fuels public purpose.
That seems to be the implication. It suggests that real leadership, real empathy, comes not from being detached, but from engaging fully with suffering. After this, he's able to make that final loving farewell to Willie, which allows Willie to finally leave the Bardo.
And what about the ghosts? What happens to them after this act?
It's profound for them, too. Having felt Lincoln's immense empathy, having acted selflessly, they're suddenly able to see beyond their own small looping regrets. Their own sick forms seem less important.
They break free.
Many of them do. Their spiritual work, as the novel puts it, seems complete. They follow Willie out of the Bardo, released from their self-absorption by that act of connection. It's a powerful statement about how helping others can be the key to our own liberation.
It suggests that sometimes letting go, even though painful, is the most loving act.
Exactly. And that simple kindness, shown when it's needed most, outweighs everything else. The novel puts it beautifully. All their own little lives and dramas were very small beer compared to that moment of kindness.
Just incredible. So we've journeyed through the plot, met these unforgettable spirits. It's clear Saunders is doing more than just telling a story. Let's talk about the craft here. What are the core themes and what makes his narrative approach so revolutionary?
Well, the themes are layered and deep. Obviously, grief and letting go is central. How attachment, even born of love, can trap us spiritually if we can't move through it.
Right. The Bardo as a metaphor for being stuck in grief.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Then there's the intersection of personal and political suffering. How Lincoln's private agony informs his public role rather than being separate from it. And overarching everything is empathy and interconnection as this, like, ultimate virtue, the thing that saves everyone in a way.
And we touched on the multiplicity of truth with the historical sources.
Yes, challenging the idea of a single, neat historical narrative.
Mm.
But yeah, the style is where it really feels groundbreaking, those two distinct modes.
Mm.
You've got hundreds of these first-person ghost voices, chaotic, democratic, sometimes conflicting.
Immersive, it sounds like.
Very. And then contrasted with those formal, almost academic historical citations. Putting them side by side creates that Rashomon effect we talked about, constantly playing with perspective and truth.
It sounds like a democracy of death in terms of narrative voice, too. Everyone gets a say, almost. How does that play out thematically? Does it erase earthly hierarchies?
It really does. In the Bardo, earthly status, rich, poor, powerful, unknown, it all falls away. Everyone's facing the same fundamental struggles with regret, attachment, mortality. It's a great leveler.
And what about spirituality? With Reverend Thomas's doubt, does the book offer any kind of spiritual framework?
It does, but it's not a traditional religious one. Through characters like the Reverend, it explores religious doubt, but the Bardo itself seems to represent an alternative path, one focused on compassion, self-awareness, and letting go, rather than strict dogma or judgment.
And the symbolism is just everywhere, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Volman's form, Bevins's eyes and hands, each ghost's appearance is a direct symbol of their unresolved earthly business. It makes these abstract psychological states incredibly tangible for the reader.
Plus, the language itself, that mix of 19th century speech patterns with historical prose.
Yeah, Saunders masters that blend. It creates moments of unexpected humor, but also deep pathos. The whole novel functions as this sophisticated allegory. You know, the Bardo isn't just about ghosts. It's a metaphor for all kinds of psychological limbo we might find ourselves in: grief, regret, confusion, even in life.
So stepping back from the intricacies of the novel, what's the big takeaway for us? Why does this book have such a lasting emotional impact? It seems to make history feel incredibly immediate.
It really does. By focusing on Lincoln the father, not just Lincoln the president, it grounds the immense, almost unimaginable scale of Civil War suffering in one person's specific relatable grief. It humanizes history.
And maybe deepens our appreciation for the personal cost of leadership.
I think so. It reminds you that historical figures were real people wrestling with real pain. But beyond history, the book's take on mortality is strangely comforting, isn't it?
How do you mean?
By emphasizing love and connection, even across the veil of death, it suggests that our relationships continue to matter, that they have a meaning that transcends individual lives.
That's a beautiful thought.
And in our current world, with so many competing stories and versions of the truth, its exploration of memory and the multiplicity of truth feels incredibly relevant.
Mm.
But ultimately, I think the most powerful echo is that urgent call for empathy. to see others and maybe even historical events, not as blocks of information, but as collections of individual stories, individual pains and joys.
Like Roger Bevins reflecting on life.
Yeah, that poignant line. What a world. It was a joyful thing to be in. Even amidst all the suffering and regret, there's an affirmation of life. Perhaps the novel suggests that facing mortality, really looking at it, helps us live more authentically, more compassionately right now.
This deep dive into Lincoln and the Bardo powerfully reminds us that our deepest sorrows can forge our greatest capacity for empathy and leadership.
And that in truly seeing the humanity in others, we often find the path to our own release.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.